Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
It's nice to have you here this evening, and it's a special time of the year. If you guys wouldn't mind turning on the lights, if people would like to go, it's on now, they'll come there and do that. But I might turn to Romans chapter 3 in your Bibles, please. It will take a little bit to get there. Special time. I'm somewhere in between Europe, the Middle East, and here at the moment. Got back at midnight last night. Got in bed about 1:30, and just kind of stuck in jet lag a little bit. But it was a very, very wonderful trip in many ways. There were three that went over. And three of us came back. That's a good thing. Three of us went back. We visited the nation of Jordan. We visited the nation of Georgia. And then we stopped at the Emirates, United Emirates in Dubai, because we had a 10-hour layover. We were able to go into that nation a little bit and get a feel. There's just under 200 different cultures, or what would you, the word, that society is represented in that city alone. It was amazing. Just to see. And Dave Pizzicani, that's right here, he climbed the outside of the world's tallest building. I'm lying. But anyway, we took an elevator up to that. It was a great trip. But today we celebrate something that is very, very unusual. We celebrate the death of a person. But we know, as we celebrate that death, that just around the corner is Sunday. And so that's real good thing to understand. When we were there in Jordan, a work has started. People have been laboring there for approximately 4 years, I believe it is, just because they love Jesus. They could be kicked out of the country any moment. Strong resistance to the message that we will share this evening, the truth that we hold, where we base our life upon it. Over there, it's a bit different than it is for us. We were told of stories of a man giving his life to Jesus Christ there in Jordan, but his wife and his children being taken away from him. He being ostracized from his community. The cost of believing what we believe is great around the world. When we were in Georgia, we looked and spoke to a man that a terrorist group murdered his mom and his grandmother in front of his eyes. And I believe the purpose was that he would never forget. And they let him live. That he would never forget what he had seen. The cost of being a Christian. The cost of believing what we believe. We as American Christian, I'm not putting this down, I'm very thankful, but we are pampered. We truly are. And I'm not making one of us feel guilty in any way whatsoever. But the reality of what goes on in the world outside of us is something that we hear about, but we don't always understand. And so we got to share a little bit of that. We went to a little conference just for a little bit of time and got to look into the faces of men and women that came out of Iran and what they have gone through and what they are afraid of. They can't meet in large numbers like we're meeting today, because if they do, then the government will come in and send them to prison or worse. But they came in and they come to the community there. And when they come and they take their vacation time and they come to that community and they meet together and they're instructed, they're taught to go back into Iran there and take the gospel. They have to take it different than to their nation than we do, meeting in small groups. But it's been verified somehow, I don't know, that right now, probably Iran is the nation where more people are giving their hearts to Jesus Christ than any other nation in the world. Isn't that amazing? Persecution is an interesting thing. It truly is. Spoke to a man there in Georgia that, according to his words, he was part of Hezbollah there in Lebanon. And so his life was given to the destruction of things. He was a bodyguard, according to what he said, to one of the rulers of that nation. And one day, he had a vision. And in that vision, Jesus Christ came through a wall and introduced himself to this man. And we saw that Marco, or we heard as Marco shared about his testimony, kind of a very vibrant, excited guy in many, many ways. You know, you're kind of discerning, listening very closely. What's real, what's not real, but, you know, he's a Christian, so you take everything. But it was just quite a testimony to listen with God. But he shared with us things that he went through. You know, we are a very spoiled group of people. But my heart is sober. I might, like I say, still be in the midst of jet lag somewhat, but my heart is sober for what goes on throughout all the world. But it's sober for us because we're too comfortable. And I don't mind sharing that with you guys. Most of you here are part of this church, and I'm very thankful of that. But we are very comfortable. And we need to pray that God would revive us. Amen? We need to pray that God would stir us up, that he would really stir us up. And if it has to start with us, then that's okay. I'll watch it as it takes place in your life, and I'll decide whether I like that or not. You know? It's an amazing thing that we believe. It truly is. Listen to, once again, I've entitled the message, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And we sang that song, and I'd like to go just to the lyrics once again. Listen. What can wash away my sin? And then I underlined, wash away my sin. Ed started us today about, as he led us in worship, speaking of that, that we are forgiven of our sins. Anybody say praise the Lord? Praise and remember, he made a statement that they're there no longer. Where he put that? That is so true. He has done that for you and I. What can wash away my sin? Say it with me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Think about that. Whole again. You know, to look into Marco's face and listen to his testimony, as wild as it was, you had to be there. You know, we were just a little skeptical in different ways, you know, but it just, but to listen to his testimony, to share, and he was saying, I'm whole. Amen? I'm whole. And he was excited about that. He's willing to give up everything. And I pray that we are too. What can make me whole again? Say it with me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Isn't that an interesting statement? Today we would say, precious is the flow of the blood of a man. It's an amazing thing. As we know, we come to celebrate, rightfully so, the death of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came into this world. And it is true whether we believe it or not. You could be sitting, joining us tonight, and you haven't embraced the truth. That's between you and God. You could be sitting here and you've embraced this truth as a youth, as a young person, but now as you're getting old and you want to sprout your wings, well, you're saying, is it really real? That's between you and God. But the Bible says that it's real. And century after century after century, people have paid the ultimate price because they believe that it is true. There's something about this truth. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Anybody say, praise the Lord for that? Seriously, white as snow. In the eyes of a holy God, we have been made white as snow. No other fount I know, say it with me, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, say it with me, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We are pardoned of all of our sins, forgiven of all of our sins this evening. That's why we're crazy as Christians. We come and celebrate, and we even have the audacity to call it Good Friday. You ever think about it? Today is Good Friday. Why? Because God came. God became one of us. God died on that cross. He gave his life. He was placed in a grave for you and I on this day that we come to celebrate. And because we know it leads to Sunday, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Join with me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can my sin erase. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of grace, not of works, 'tis all of grace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why we celebrate this time,
It's an amazing time. This is an amazing reality. It truly is. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen to the nine things again that come our way because of the blood of Jesus. Washed away our sins, made us whole again, makes us white as snow, total pardoned, cleansed, my sin erased, the grace of God, hope and peace and righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. An amazing thing. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? The answer is simple. Amen? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We have a message. We believe in the truth. We have been touched by none other than God Himself, who has reached out of heaven and performed a miracle for you and I. If today we are born from above, we are born again, we are spiritually alive in Jesus Christ, that is a miracle. It's totally a miracle. It doesn't happen by intellect. It doesn't happen by good works. It doesn't happen by good looks. It doesn't happen by richness. It simply happens by belief in the story and the reality that is in the Bible. One may ask, though, am I really that great of a sinner? Am I really that great of a sinner? After all, you know, I live a good life. I help people and all of that. But I thought it would be good for us just to reflect upon this. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 10. I know it's not an exciting part, but it's good for us to go there. In verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. It's speaking of us outside of Christ. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's who I was. That's who you were before the blood of Jesus Christ, until he cleansed us, and he came in and did that wonderful work in our lives. We know, according to Scripture in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, go there. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you turn just a little bit to chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. There's a consequence to sin. We understand that. But some might say, oh, but I haven't sinned greatly. It's interesting, it only takes one sin. It really does. You know, in our lives and in our generation, we have been exposed. Am I not on this thing? Stay here, okay? What happened to this new jigger? It's on. We have been exposed to a man that lived his entire life, adult life, praying and sacrificing that he could preach the gospel. And ultimately, God allowed him to preach the gospel before tens of thousands of people. As he died a couple weeks ago, I remember reading in the paper that Billy Graham preached physically to over 210 million people. Is that not amazing? Then think about by TV what it is and all the other ministries of the Billy Graham Association. You know, 210 million people. It's an amazing thing. Today, as we also know, the remedy for our sins was through the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. In Scripture, it says, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Is that not an amazing thing? That we would become the righteousness of God. Look around to the left and the right, in front of you and behind you. Think about that. Somehow that represents the righteousness of God. The work of God in each and every one of our lives. In the video, it said they brought Jesus into a place called Golgotha. And there they crucified him on our behalf, in our place, so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins and cleansed from all of our unrighteousness. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Everybody say, praise the Lord. We were stuck. We were there in our sin, and Christ died for us. I'd like to go to Isaiah 53 just for a moment. It was on the screen a little bit there, but bear with me. The message won't go on much longer here. Isaiah 53. How can someone read what is there in Isaiah 53 without seeing what's there? Verse 1, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he, speaking of the Messiah, Christ, shall grow before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, as he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. As a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off, the crucifixion, from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet, verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, that's capital S, Christ, shall justify many. For he, Jesus, shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I, this Father speaking, will divide him a portion with the great. And he, the Messiah, Jesus, shall divide the spoil with the strong. And because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. Amazing reality, is it not? Ed said this, it's his favorite holiday. I thought, Ed, you're a strange man. No. It's a time that we remember. But there's another side of the cross. There is a light. There is a new reality. There is forgiveness of our sins. There is cleansing from our sins. There is a resurrection that awaits each and every one of us. There is an eternal life that can be ours, though simply believing in the reality and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen? Amen. Simply by believing, not belief plus. Not belief plus baptism, not belief plus any type of works. It comes to the point that we must come to the point we simply believe, we trust in, we rely upon, we adhere to, no matter what will happen in our lives. This is where we're going to stand. Today in my devotions, I finished Joshua chapter 24. And he stood there and he said, he was given encouragement, a challenge to the nation of Israel because he was going to die. And he said to him, as far as it's concerned for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Will you be able to say that 10 years from now? Will you be able to say that 5 years from now? Will you be able to say it from a year? It's your decision. It's a decision you must make, and you must stand on it, because God will not force himself against you. Will you stay with the Lord no matter what the cost is? Will you stay with the Lord if he asks you to go to the end of this planet? Will you stay with the Lord if he sends you out of Indianapolis to a land that you don't know? Will you stand there? If people ridicule you, If people kill your family before your own eyes. That man stood before us. We heard his testimony. I didn't dare ask him certain questions because I thought, I don't know. I don't know what I would do if I saw that. It's real to be a Christian. Some people take it so lightly. We play with it at times. It costs people their lives. But there is this other side, the light, the new reality, forgiveness of sins, cleansing from our sins, resurrection that waits us, eternal life that can be ours. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the prophet said, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Praise the Lord. How wonderful it is. The apostle told us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. What a wonderful thing that is. How does all this take place in an individual's life? Very simply. You guys know it. You've studied it. But let's review it just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." A free gift we've been given, but it's a gift that can cost us a lot. It can cost us our family. It can cost us our life, because it's happened to our brothers and sisters. And America's moving in an interesting way. Scripture says the gift of life is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of life is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Scripture says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Anybody say praise the Lord? Yeah. Anybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And then you said?
Praise
hallelujah. I know I get stupid this way. I really do. If you're visiting, it's just me. I'm weird. I really am. But I love what Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 5, verse 9. He said, "Much more then, having been justified, declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." According to this book, according to the book of Revelation and other places, trying times, troublous times are coming upon this world, and we are in the midst of them right now. I hope we're paying attention. I hope we're praying because it's around the corner. I don't know exactly what's there. But don't you sense it? Like no other time, the challenge is coming. What would we do if our faith is challenged in such a way? Let's close. Go to Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. We're going to take communion in just a moment. There is this wonderful side as we looked at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. And then we come to these two powerful words. Whenever you find them in Scripture, look at them and study the things that are around them. Look in verse 21. "But now," notice what it says, "the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all," do what? "Who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And I love verse 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness," and here it comes, "that we might be just and the justifier of the one who has," what? "Faith in Jesus Christ." It's an amazing thing. Someone may be asking tonight a very important question. What must I do to be saved? The Bible simply tells us, just believe. Part of believing is coming to the Lord, according to Romans chapter 10, and repenting of our sins and confessing that we're a sinner to the Lord. It comes from a broken heart. It's very important we would do that. We're going to take communion right now, and I'd like to invite everybody here to take communion. But before you take communion, you must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says you make a mockery of what we're celebrating this evening and what we'll celebrate on Sunday too. So we must have a personal relationship with the Lord. We must be born from above. We must be born again. One might ask, how do I do that? According to Scripture, it simply says that we, as I said, we believe. What do we believe in? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We believe that God sent his only Son, that God himself came to this earth, that God himself came and became one of us. Isn't that an amazing truth, an amazing reality? But it causes my mind to go, amazing. Goes beyond anything I can imagine. God himself walked on this earth. He never sinned. He never rebelled against his Father. He walked on this earth, and he died on the cross so we could be forgiven of all of our sins. They placed him in a grave, but that grave couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead to the living. It's just an amazing thing. And I don't know, Jay, is it possible to go back to that video, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus? Can we do that? As we just now, let's pray, and let's show that video once again. And as then we'll come forward, and then we'll pray. They'll share the communion with us, and then we'll pray over it. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to come and celebrate what you, Jesus, have done for us. All across the world, Lord, people are invited to give their hearts to you. All across the world, as we've seen in these three nations that we went into here in these 11 days, the resistance is great. All across the world, though, Lord, I heard testimonies of people that finally just simply yielded. Stop their battle. Stop their struggle. Come to a point where their unbelief turned to belief. And what a radical change has taken place in their lives. So, Lord, if there's anyone here this evening that does not know you, they're not sure if they die tonight that they would go to be with you in heaven, then simply may they say a prayer, a simple prayer like this. Lord, I come and ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, I believe that you are God and you died for me personally. Now I ask you to forgive me of those sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. I surrender my life to you. Bless us, Lord, we thank you as this communion is passed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word.